Hey, how's it going? You like my Batman cuffs? Sweetheart. Hey, hi, James from Ingvit. What's going on here? Why is the board empty? Oh, guys, you're in for a treat. This lesson is what we call an LVC lesson. What's going to happen in this lesson is you notice there's nothing on the board right now, but soon we'll have the board filled with information to help you. LVC stands for listening, vocabulary, and comprehension. What's going to occur here is I'm going to read you a story. I'm going to click my fingers, and then we're going to take 7 words of vocabulary that you probably don't know, teach you what they mean, listen one more time to make sure you got comprehension with these new words to understand the story you're being told. And then we'll have a very quick quiz to check that comprehension. It's a complete lesson. You'll enjoy it. So I'm going to ask you right now to please grab a pen and paper because you're going to want to take notes on this one. You might have to listen to it a couple times. But I promise you, from the ones we've done before, a lot of people go from I didn't understand to I 100% understand the story. And have a greater appreciation for vocabulary and the words we're teaching. So, get your pen, get your paper, get comfortable, and get ready for the story. Meanwhile, at the police headquarters, the captain was getting more and more angry, trying to understand the ambiguous text message left by Detective E, who was at the crime scene. E was a good detective, albeit a little unconventional for being a cop. This made the other cops make assumptions about the quality of his work. But Detective E had the profound ability to make the right decisions, which would have great implications on finding and arresting criminals. It was inevitable that Detective E and the captain were going to get into a big argument about how Detective E worked on this case, the captain thought out loud. Okay, so now you've heard the story. I know you're probably really confused. And your confusion is understandable because to understand something, whether you're reading it or as if you're reading it or you're listening to it, you need to understand at least 90% of the words. I'd say 80 to 90. To comprehend or understand what's being said. Once you get past the 80%, 70, 60, you basically don't understand what's going on. It's a shame, but I'm going to help correct that by teaching you the 7 words I picked on purpose to make it difficult for you so that you can understand the story when we read it again and when we do the quiz. Are you ready? Let's go to the board. Now, I have some examples here I'm reading from because it is a hard story for you and for me. Let's go for the first word. So the first word you heard was ambiguous. The simple meaning of ambiguous is something is not clear, right? So it's not easily to understand, it's not clear. Other words people will use for not clear are vague and unclear. Why is this word important to go from intermediate to advanced? Well, it helps you recognize that you could have more than one meaning in a word. When something's ambiguous, it could mean this or it could mean that. It's not clear, so you can't say, oh, it's absolutely five. It could be five or six. For example, when I say, well, let me give you a really good example. Marty's ambiguous response made me think there was more going on. So instead of saying, hey, I'm going to come to the party for sure, they say, it sounds like a good idea. Was that yes or no? That's ambiguous. You haven't said it. Or my favorite is when I say to a student, do you want the blue apple or the pink pear? And they go, yes. I don't know what you want. It's ambiguous. You haven't told me one or the other. It's in the air, not clear. Second word, albeit. This is such a fancy word used by post-secondary people everywhere. It means but. It's a fancy word for but. Right? But it does sound albeit. It almost sounds like 3 words. Albeit when the gods are speaking. It just means but it sounds nice, right? Other words that people use are although and however. Okay, and why does this help you go from intermediate to advanced in your learning or demonstrating your transition or movement from being an intermediate student to an advanced student? Well, it helps you show contrast in when you're doing advanced reading or writing or conversation. What do you mean? Well, remember, but means here's something, but something is different. Here's my perfect example sentence for you. You ready? Elena is very intelligent, albeit a little silly at times. Now stop and think about what I just said. She's very intelligent, albeit a little silly at times. When we usually think of intelligent people, we think they are very serious and studious and, you know, they've got this face. Not, you don't think of that when you think of intelligence. That's silly, right? So, albeit she's intelligent, she can be silly, right? So we show a contrast between the two. Nice? Thank you. I worked on it. Number three, unconventional. The basic meaning of unconventional means not normal. Other words we use, or other people use, or generally, especially in the intermediate level, are original or, and unusual. Funny enough, unconventional is sort of a combination of the two. And that's what makes all of these words interesting. They're not just, don't use this, use this. Don't use this, use this. Sometimes they have both meanings inside that word, and that's why we choose them, and that's how you're demonstrating you're going from intermediate to advanced, because you know this word combined, as these two words combined, give it a unique meaning, very special, right? So, what does this word help you with? Well, it helps you to demonstrate that you know what is considered normal and how people can be flexible about getting things done. Meaning, yes, there's a normal way of doing it, but somebody who's unconventional, right, will do something that's not usual, and it is usually original. That's why I said it's the combination of the two words. It's not just this, it's not just that, or I would use those. If you're a lower level student, you will just use one of these words, and you're missing, it's like a taste in food, salt. You're missing something that doesn't give it the exact idea that somebody wants to understand or make your ideas clear to others. Cool? All right. So we've seen now how we're moving our transitionally, once again, transition, moving from words that you probably use now to more special word or nuanced words that can give you a little bit more meaning to what we're saying. Good. I'm glad you're following along because we have to do our next word now, which is conjecture. A conjecture is to believe, right? To believe something is true without proof. We do it all the time, okay? And then look here, you see the word belief and guess. A conjecture is kind of a guess and kind of a belief. Oh, again, yeah. You believe it's true. You may not have all the proof. You don't have all the evidence. We never have all the evidence about everything. So you got to believe something. For instance, you believe that the sun is going to come up tomorrow. My friend, that's a conjecture. A rock, a big asteroid could hit the sun, and the sun blows up, there's no sun. You're making a conjecture. It's a guess about what you think will happen in the future and the belief that you have it will actually happen. But conjecture is such a fancy word. It's like wearing a nice suit and tie. It dresses itself up beautifully. Why do we use this word to show a movement from intermediate to advanced? Well, this word helps demonstrate that what you are saying is an opinion without complete facts. So what you're actually saying is, yes, I believe this is true, but I don't have all the facts. See, that's an advanced thing because you're admitting or saying, I don't have all the facts, but I have to think this is going to happen. In this election, this person will win. In this race, this person should win. Here's what I know. I don't have all the facts, but I believe it to be true. So let's work with it. Because that's all we have. Some facts, not all the facts, and we have to make opinions about them. And that's what a conjecture is. Cool? Now let's go to profound. Ooh, this word. You hear people say it a lot. And there are profound things in this world, but not as much as people use it for. This is why I want you to use it properly. Profound means very great, but you'll notice everything here has like 2, 2, 2. This one has 4. Intense, extreme, intelligence, and wise. Why? When we say profound, it can be used in 2 ways. In one way, it can be talking about the extreme or the strength of something. Think about the sun. If you look into the sun, the light is very intense. It's hard to look at. It's very strong. But a candle, the little flame, or Mr. E just provided me with special effects. Got a big budget here. There, see that little flame? That's not very intense. You can look at that. But you couldn't look at the sun, right? It's intense. It's very strong. This is not strong. That's what we talk about with intensity. Or extreme. So profound could be saying something is very great, as in very, very strong, intense, or extreme. Or we use it for intelligence. When something is profound, you stop and go, oh, I must think about this. This is very intelligent and wise. And one must be careful that you get the right one or the message is not correct. So why do we use this word? Well, it helps you to demonstrate that you recognize there is a deeper meaning to topics. When I showed you the lighter and I talked about the sun, there are levels to that. It's not just lighter and sun. You can see me in here. I'm in a room full of light. It's not the sun. It's not a candle or a lighter. There's levels to intensity. There's also levels to wisdom or being wise and being intelligent. You know this. You've got your friend not so smart, and then you've got the very smart one. There are levels. And when you use the word profound, you're saying, I understand there are levels to what's being said. So there's what people can see and other levels that go deeper and have deeper meaning. And that's how you're moving from intermediate to advanced in your language. Implication. Whoa! Okay. This one, you'll notice that the red is over here because that's as simple as I could make it. All these red ones were to help you get the simplest, most basic answer or understanding of the word before I showed you alternatives. An implication, let me read it. When you have an implication, you get a possible conclusion or ending, right, for a situation, but it's not directly stated. Why? When we imply something, you're asked to use your imagination to get the conclusion to it, because maybe the situation isn't finished just yet, so you have to imagine how it will end. So what are the implications of your actions? Or what will be the implications means what will happen in the end if you continue doing this. If you think that's difficult, imagine trying to say all of that, okay? Sometimes that's why I write it down. Other words we use from the implication are indication. And an indication is just kind of pointing at something. Like if you look outside, put your hand out, and a couple of drops come down, it indicates there's going to be rain. Can't say for sure. Maybe it will stop. Or maybe your neighbor is spitting at you. I don't know. It's an indication that there's moisture coming down. Moisture. Anyway, the next one is suggestion. To suggest is not to say something. You want to say, where do you want to go for dinner? Well, I suggest we go to McDonald's. That's not an order. It's an idea that's being put out there that could happen, right? It's a suggestion. All right. So now that we've got that in the way, let's find out, what are we talking about when we have an implication? Well, it helps you read between the lines. Oh, this is something students aren't good at. We use the word literal, and literal means if I say I am hot, some students go, teacher, you are hot. You need a fan. I go, no, baby, I'm sexy. I'm sexy. I'm a sexy beast. I'm so sexy. No. Sometimes words don't mean exactly what you think, but because someone told you the sun is hot, teacher is hot, teacher has high temperature. But in English, sometimes we play with the words. Reading between the lines means somebody is saying something, but you need to look in between the two lines because that is where the real meaning is that they're trying to say. Johnson? You've been really outstanding, an outstanding worker. We love you here. But we have a lot of other employees who deserve your position. You're being fired. They are firing you. You're losing your job. He never said that. You go, teacher, he never said he's firing. Oh, he didn't. Other workers need your job. We liked you as a worker. Past tense. Bye-bye. Read between the lines. Yeah? Now, once you understand that, you're going to work in fiction, works of fiction and art, a lot of reading between the lines. You love Shakespeare when the audience is sitting there and the guy says, that's gonna kill you. And everybody goes, it's going to in the next part of the play, you're gonna die. But you're like, great, you haven't read between the lines with the audience laughing, him saying something. There's more information than you're seeing. When we use implication, it starts showing you understand there is a conclusion. You're reading between the lines saying this is what's possible. Now, the last one I want to do is inevitable. And of course, me being a comic book nerd, and one of the most famous lines in comic books is going to come up. But what does inevitable mean? It means something is going to happen. That's what basically it means. Okay, I'll give you the more formal version. But if we speak in English about future tense, we have going to, right? And when we say something's going to, I'm going to the store, it's going to happen, right? Same thing here. Inevitable means going to happen. Other words you can use are certain and unavoidable. It was inevitable I would make a mistake. It's unavoidable. I'm only human. Okay, so unavoidable, certain, for sure, 100%. These are, you know, colloquialisms or common English. What does it mean, or what does it help you? It helps you show the connection between time and consequences. Meaning, if you do this, in the end, this is going to happen. There is no changing it. So, if you don't save money, you will not have money to buy dinner later on tonight. It's inevitable. You spent it all on comic books. Now there's no money for food. Inevitable. That's how it's going to go, right? So when you use this in writing and speaking, you're showing people, I understand, if this action happens and it continues to happen, this is going to happen. I love this. Of course, inevitable. I'll have a technical breakdown as I'm doing this video, but we will continue. Thanos looked at Rachel deep in her eyes and said, I am inevitable, before he snapped his fingers. That snap's going to tell you that that's the end of our vocabulary lesson. And we're going to go back to the story where, of course, you took your notes. And if you don't, watch this again so you can fill in the blanks and understand what is being said in the story about Detective E and the captain. You ready? Now for the real Thanos snap. Meanwhile, at the police headquarters, the captain was getting more and more angry, trying to understand the ambiguous text message left by Detective E, who was at the crime scene. E was a good detective, albeit a little unconventional for being a cop. This made the other cops make assumptions about the quality of his work. But Detective E had the profound ability to make the right decisions, which would have great implications on finding and arresting criminals. It was inevitable that Detective E and the captain were going to get into a big argument about how Detective E worked on this case, the captain thought out loud. Okay, so now you've done the listening part, we've done the vocabulary part, you've listened again, and notice that your comprehension should be better. Just to help firm that up or make it permanent, we're going to do a little quiz. Now, if you get less than 5 on the quiz, I would suggest you do it all again, right? Because if you're going to take the time to learn, learn it properly, and these words will be yours. So let's go to the quiz. I'll start off with number 1. The boy that was lost for 7 days was happy, something very hungry as well. What do you think it is? Did you say, albeit? That would be correct, remember? But is it the other way we say it? But very hungry as well. Cool? All right. Next. Terry had the most blank hairstyles. She was one of a kind. What do you think that would be? Did you say unconventional hairstyles, not normal? You're correct. You're doing pretty well. Let's see how the other five go. The blank of his decision became clearer after more and more problems occurred. What would that be? Did you say implications? Yeah. Remember we talked about the future? You can see what's going to happen. Because of this, this is going to happen. The implications. There we go. What about number four? It was blank that the happy couple would want to have children and become a family. What do you think? Remember we said it's going to happen, and it's going to happen is inevitable. It's inevitable it's going to happen. Number five, the coach made the correct something. Oh, sorry. I made a mistake. I was incorrect. The coach made the incorrect something that Ronaldo was bad at soccer. Are any of you guys soccer fans going to watch the World Cup? Okay. He made the incorrect assumption. Remember, assumption can mean guess. Made the incorrect assumption about Ronaldo, because we know he's one of the world's best. All right, what about the next one? The lesson had a something effect on the students. Many of them worked harder to become doctors. What could the answer be for this? Could it be implication or profound? What do you think? Well, if you said profound, absolutely, right? It had a strong effect. Remember we talked about very great? Well, profound means very great. Very great effect on the students. Man, you got 6 out of 7? Maybe you don't need to watch this video again. It still wouldn't hurt to get practice in. But if you're getting less than that, you've made mistakes, you should go back already because there's only one answer left. And you might not get that one right. So, you know, watch the video, get practice. Last one, Ferial's husband left an note about dinner. So she didn't know if she was taking, okay, if he was taking her out for dinner or he was cooking dinner. What would be the answer for that one? Well, if you're confused, if someone's making dinner or taking you out for dinner, it's probably ambiguous. And if you remember, ambiguous means not clear. So the letter he left with her wasn't clear, so she was confused if she was going to be going out for dinner and having a nice time, or he was making her dinner. Who knows? It's ambiguous. Now, this quiz wasn't ambiguous. 7 out of 7 means you learned, and I'm sure you understood the story, which would make you very happy, and it should. Now, as I said, if you got less than, you know, 4, 3, 2, watch it again. It's all good. Anyway, I've been happy to teach you this lesson. I look forward to you coming back again or going to Ingvid, where you can watch this or other LVC lessons that we have there to help teach you words to make you go from intermediate to advanced, beginner to intermediate, all there, plus other great teachers. So I hope you enjoyed this lesson, and I hope you push subscribe, because if this is the third one you've watched because you've seen them before, clearly you're learning something. Well, I'm James for Ingvid. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.